This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
You're listening to Australia's number one tech podcast. Every week, join hosts Brad and Jason here on the Tech Webcast. Download our iPhone app, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and visit us online at techwebcast.info. Here are your hosts, Brad and Jason.
Welcome to episode 171 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 21st of January, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And today our hosts are Brad, Jason Oakley, Casey Coughlin, Steve Plingham, and our guest is Rick Reyes from the internet. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, what's up, mate?
Hey, doing good. Tried to get my internet sped up during the week, but failed in there miserably, so... I guess 4 megs will have to do.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that sucks, mate. That sucks.
They said I should be able to get up to 10, but technology is against me, so what can you do?
What can you
Four's
do,
all right. It's better than nothing.
Just go get cable internet.
Yeah, well, the only thing is Optus cable here, so if it was Telstra and I could get that 100 megs,
yeah,
$59 or whatever, I'd go for that, but Optus have got crappy quotas and speeds and stuff, so...
Okay.
With 4 megs, you might even be better off with a Verizon MiFi or something like that.
I've got the iPhone, and it gets about...
Hey, there you go. They just released a untethered jailbreak for iOS 5. You can start tethering your internet right now.
In Australia, we can anyway. We don't have to jailbreak for that.
No, I just use... kidding.
Hotspot. I only get 2 gigs a month for that, so it doesn't work. 100 gigs on 4 megs doable. I can live with it. How's things going down there, Brad?
Good, mate. We had a chat yesterday on Xbox Live, didn't we? That was quite interesting.
Yeah, that was a bit of fun.
Yeah, it was quite fun, and I love Xbox.
Now I can get my Live to work with my new modem. I just got to sell the others. Anybody want to buy ADSL modems, get in contact with me, you know?
Just sell them on eBay, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to do that this week.
And yeah.
How's Casey doing?
We've got Casey back on. Hey, Casey.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. And yourself?
I am fabulous.
Do you want to report on anything?
No. Apple had a small education event yesterday in New York City.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be getting into that during the show.
During the show, yep. That's cool. And I've got Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's...
Steve has also got an internet problem too. Steve, welcome to the club, mate. What's going on with your internet provider?
They're down. I've got two, but the other one won't broadcast out, but I can do everything else, like Skyping with you guys. That's about it.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's kind of a sad day when Skype's the dependable one.
It's usually the other way around, right?
Oh, the Google Hangout. It works as well. We've got our guest on. Who is he, Steve?
Rick Reyes from Corpus Christi, Texas. He's a multimedia specialist. He does... video production, social networking, and graphic design, I think.
Cool. Welcome, Rick.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem, mate. So, Steve, far away, mate. What do you want to ask him?
Let me see. I've been on your website, and I talked to you a little bit before, and you said, I think you kind of got started with churches, like the local churches. Their web design wasn't very good, and you kind of got up to speed on all that stuff. Is that how you initially started, or?
You know, it really is. When I started going to college, I just kind of grew up in the church. I'm a musician, so I helped there. And then as in college, I kind of focused on communications as my degree, and I got really interested in graphic design and multimedia. And if I'm just going to be honest with you, I walked into the lab, and it was all Macs, and I kind of, you know, started having my own little idol there, which was bad. But I kind of noticed the effect that mass communications has, and was really infatuated with that, and how bad this institution that we call the church is at doing that still to this day. I think there's some good examples out there. But for me, I just wanted to figure out how to better communicate in general. And so I kind of latched onto that, started, I taught myself graphic design through, you know, Illustrator tutorials, Photoshop tutorials, video production the same way, Final Cut Express. I just got on YouTube and asked people how to do it. And so for me, I wanted to take that and not just be a guy who knew how to do it and throw some stuff on the web, but to teach people also how to do it well. So that's kind of how I started.
No, very good. Now, actually, let me... I've got the video version right here. I'm going to show you some of your work. Now, initially, I found it turns out I've seen already seen some of your work around town, and
just
at the local Starbucks, which is it says PortlandStreetDance.com. This is a flyer that you made and posted, I guess, around town. It was some of the stuff you did, and I know some of the guys should be able to see that once I post it on YouTube. And and let me see. Now, what kind – it says you also do video production. So what do you do for that exactly?
Pretty much what I do is pretty much been limited to what I did in the church. You know, a lot of announcements are kind of becoming all the rage now in local churches. But one of the things that I'm starting to focus on now is real estate video tours. Obviously, with the housing market being what it is, it's definitely a buyer's market, at least where we are in Texas. I can't speak for, obviously, the world. But realtors are starting to realize that when people go online to look at houses, they're not looking at pictures anymore. They're looking up YouTube videos of homes they want to buy. And a lot of that is because we have people coming into South Texas from all over the world, whether it be for, you know, coming to work at the port, coming to work at the refineries, military. None of them want to look at still images anymore. They want to actually be able to feel like they're there. And so that's what I do. I'm fixing to post a video on YouTube, hopefully, if I can get it up tonight, if my internet works. Thank you. And really just, it's a 3 to 5 minute, this is what this house is, do you want to buy it or not kind of a thing. Real simple. You know, just really good shots, high definition DSLR, and just throwing some shots in there, working with realtors, charging, you know, not too much money, but definitely making a little bit. So, but that's kind of where I'm heading right now with video production.
Do you do the video hosting yourself, or like, do you just shoot the video and they host it on their website?
I actually create a YouTube channel for them. And the reason, obviously, is just let YouTube host it, let their servers handle it. A lot of realtors, you know, they think they know a lot about websites and know, I'll put it on my website and I'll do this. And 24 hours later, when they're trying to watch it on their horrible server, they realize they need YouTube.
Yep.
So, and honestly, YouTube doing high definition, I mean, there's really no reason for them to have to host it. I mean, just, you know, again, let YouTube take care of that. Plus, it's linkable on, it's so much easier to link a YouTube video on Facebook than it is to try to drop a link to your hosted video on your website sometimes.
Yeah, because that's all done through Facebook already. Do you have a site where people can contact you if they would like to get your services?
Absolutely. It's my full name, Ricardo Reyes, II, as in the second, .com. And there are some design examples on there as well. On the homepage, there's an actual direct form where you can just send me an email and, you know, we can start working together and figure out what I can do for you.
Sweet. How long have you been doing this for?
Oh, goodness. I've been freelancing for about three or four years, just kind of, you know, having a full-time job, it's hard to give it too much time, but I've kind of found a way to where I'm able to knock out projects pretty consistently in the evening and in the afternoon and in the weekends. So about 3 to 4 years I'm able to do it, and just been doing it on the side as much as I can.
Cool. What kind of equipment do you use for filming and the video production?
We have a, and I don't have the camera right in front of me, it's a fairly new camera. It's a 12.1 megapixel Canon, just real basic. It's a fixed lens. That's my camera. Now, the one that I borrow is different. That's the DSLR that I believe is a Nikon, and it's a 18 megapixel. Just, you know, pretty good equipment, actually, so... but typically, if I record a real estate video, I'll use the DSLR, the high definition recording on that.
Yeah, I've got a Canon EXIS myself that's 12.1 megapixels that I record this show with.
That'll work. Yeah,
does the job.
Absolutely.
Does. All right. So, Rick, you design t-shirts as well, mate. What do you do with the t-shirts?
Yeah, you know, obviously working in a church, really any organization, any business, a lot of people don't realize that it's almost, you'll save 20 to 25% if you go to a t-shirt company and say, I don't want you to do artwork for me. Here's my design, throw it on a t-shirt.
Wow.
Now, the problem people have when they do that is they give them a JPEG that's, you know, a 25 by 25 DPI image. And of course, yeah. No one's going to take that and they're going to rip you off. I'll give them the vector artwork and say, you know, I'll charge them whatever we work out and say, take this to your shirt guy, and there you go. Also, I'm able to hook them up with some networks I've done with phenomenal prices for t-shirts, at least here in the U.S., and get them great deals on t-shirts. So being able to charge, get them to get the artwork, but also if they just want to do a package with me for t-shirts, that saves them a ton of money.
So you do that instead of something like Cafe Press?
Oh, absolutely. I love Cafe Press. Great ideas. If you don't have a design and you just need to get a creative t-shirt done, go to cafepress.com. But if you have an idea of what you want to do, something you've drawn, I don't recommend using someone like them. There are local, I always start wherever you live looking for local printers. Local printers will almost always beat internet prices. A lot of people don't know that, but if you know how to talk to them and say, look, here's the deal, I'll go online and get it cheaper, they will absolutely work with you, as long as you're willing to develop a relationship that says, anytime I need t-shirts, I'm coming to you. They will absolutely give you a better deal.
Cool.
Brilliant.
All right, what about you, Casey? Any questions?
Yeah, I was kind of curious, back when he was talking about his web design techniques and how for realtors, you would pretty much run, I guess, high-definition pictures and or videos, or was it primarily video that you would run for the houses and stuff?
Personally, I prefer to do HD video only. Again, whenever you get to it kind of defeats the whole purpose of putting together a video if you throw stills in there. However, mm-hmm. You can get some, you know, as a graphic designer, I can edit photos and make them look phenomenal, which, you know, you can't always do with high definition video, mm-hmm. unless you have a lot of money for lighting and you know, you can do that. But for mm-hmm. me, I typically tend to stick to the video because you try to curate, you know, someone walking through a home, what are they going to see when they actually set foot in there with the realtor? And that's really hard to do with stills. So I try to stick to the video.
So then do you try and recreate kind of the tour that the realtor would take if this customer were actually on site?
Exactly. That's because nice. Here's the deal. If you have someone who's in the Navy that lives in San Diego right now and they're moving to Corpus Christi, Texas.
Hey, I'm in San Diego.
Well, perfect. Awesome. I wish I lived there. But if you're coming here, you know, you want to be able to see a home without actually having to be there. Because if you're in the military, right. You don't have the luxury of going to preview homes. You're lucky just to get
there. No, I agree. You know, pictures can only tell you so much.
Sure, absolutely.
So, I mean, that all sounds great. So if I say, you know, I was looking to get into, you know, kind of your genre of work, what hosting are you going through? Are you kind of putting all this up on your own? Are you serving it up on your own? Are you going through like a blog? Kind of what's your back end situation for this?
As far as hosting the video itself or as far as my
the whole
web?
Site? I mean,
sure.
Are you hosting the video separately through like Vimeo or YouTube and then just kind of linking to it on a web page?
Yeah, I highly recommend using external hosts for video. Again, YouTube, because you can do high definition. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with Vimeo. I don't do enough yet to where I'd have to pay for that and to maintain that storage of high definition. Mm-hmm. But YouTube, I mean, it's free and you can do high definition. You can't beat that right now. And you know, me putting something from my own website and trying to put it into Facebook or Twitter, specifically Facebook. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you just get a link. You don't get a direct drop down with the video actually playing in Facebook.
Right.
Which is, you know, same, you can also.
I mean, the same kind of problem that you run. I mean, the same with that being said, there's another problem you kind of run into, and it's the same problem with just going with YouTube as a provider. Whether, mm-hmm. you know, on one hand, yes, it's free and it's great and they just pay for the hosting of the video, which is going to be the heftier part of it anyways. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of the times it's served up in Flash. And absolutely. If I, you know, wanted to be Elastic or universal and, you know, be seen on iPhones and iPads and mm-hmm. any devices that are not just your desktop and laptop, then I'm going to kind of be excluded from a huge chunk and a growing chunk of the market.
The YouTube stuff does work on mobile devices.
It does.
Yeah, right, our app shows all of these shows.
Well, you can use HTML5 on YouTube. So,
mm-hmm. Right. It depends on how you grab the code to embed it into your website.
Exactly right. Yep. Yeah, and you know, there have even been times when, for a good example, when I just finished this home tour for a realtor, she wanted just to email it, an actual video. Whoa. And so I sent a very low resolution, and I told her, I was like, I recorded this on a high-definition camera, so right away you're ruining it by trying to email this video.
So how do you handle customers like that, where they, you know, think they're kind of approaching it at a sensible or reasonable angle, and you kind of know, mm-hmm. you know, being in the industry and know in your heart of hearts that that's the, you know, maybe the wrong way or even not, like there's a much better way to go. How do you kind of approach that and kind of try and coach them into a different position, so to speak?
Right. For me, I think the best approach I found is just respectful, honest communication. I mean, I know that even sounds cliche nowadays, but just telling people, you know, I'm not a realtor for a reason. I would not be able to sell a house to save my life. But I'm the one who does the videography. I'm the one who does graphic mm-hmm. design. I make money doing that. You make money doing mm-hmm. real estate. I make money doing this. And so I think there's that trust and respect that comes with that. And people are really open to that as long as they can see a product that, you know, because when I did finish the video, she was very impressed, incredibly impressed with it. And so she saw that. And so when I told her that's not going to work, there wasn't really much of a debate after that. You know, she said, well, you know, I'm just going to have to trust you on that one. And she did.
Yeah, you're not going to be emailing a 2-gig file anywhere.
No, yeah.
Not at
people
all.
Don't realize that. Yeah, I'll just attach it. Here you go, 2 gigs of email.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Why can't you just attach any old file to an email? What's wrong with that?
Right, exactly right.
All right, well, that's great, mate. Jason, what about some news, mate? Got any news today?
First up, I wanted to say that, as you know, we've submitted the Tech Webcast podcast to TiVo.
TiVo, yep.
So hopefully Sweet. They'll be putting on there. And I also found a link to request it going onto Zune.
Nice.
As well. So Good hopefully stuff. We'll see that happening in the
Yay,
future.
Yay, the yeah. Zune. That's a growing market.
Maybe two people will watch it.
Yeah, maybe. Yay. The Zune sucks.
It's two more than now.
I'm gonna dominate those two people.
Yeah, just use an iPad.
Zune didn't even make it to Australia.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. That
the Zune looked at Australia, turned around, and came back.
I think Australia did want to let it come in.
Yeah. All right, what's been happening in the news, mate? What's been going on?
5 days before a critical vote, U.S. senators are abandoning an anti-piracy bill after an outpouring of online opposition to tinkering with internet freedoms. Senate Democratic leaders still plan to vote on taking up the Protect International Property Act, and supporters are scrambling to make changes before then to answer some of the critics, but it's questionable whether they'll have the 60 votes needed. Half a dozen of the 40 original co-sponsors of what's known as the PIPA bill withdrew their support on Wednesday in the US amid a one-day protest blackout by Wikipedia and other web giants, and a flood of emails to Capitol Hill offices that at times doubled normal volumes. More than 7 million signed a petition on Google saying the Senate bill and its counterpart in the House would censor the web and impose burdensome regulations on US businesses. The overwhelming input I've received from New Hampshire citizens makes it clear there are many legitimate concerns that deserve further consideration before Congress moves forward with this legislation, said Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte, one of the politicians who pulled back her support of the bill. Convicted file sharer Hugh Griffiths is viewing events in Britain with a sense of foreboding. A judge has ruled that a 23-year-old British student who built an online site for sharing TV programs can be extradited to the United States to face trial and up to 10 years in jail, even though he has never been there. It is thought to be the first time in Britain, but Mr. Griffiths knows it can happen. He was bundled on a plane to the US in 2007 in what he believes was a pointless show of power that did nothing to stem online piracy. No one ever thought such a thing could happen back then. If I had been charged at home, I might have got a 6-month suspended sentence and a $1,000 fine maximum, he told the newspaper from his New South Wales Central Coast home. What he got was 6 months in a US prison after 3 years in Sydney's Silverwater Jail, attempting to fight extradition. He said the US was much better than Silverwater. It was safe, quiet, and well run. Although he had no money from helping distribute pirated software and games, under US law he was deemed to have traded in stolen software and liable for 10 years in jail.
Wow.
While the launch of Apple's iBooks 2, its new multimedia textbook format, and iBooks Author, the free authoring tool Apple has produced to create them, may indeed reinvent the textbook, there are a lot of questions to be answered before it does. That doesn't mean that Apple didn't put on quite a show. In addition to debuting its own digital textbook format, as well as an easy-to-publish authoring tool, Apple has seemed to be ratcheting up the appeal of the iBook Store as a self-publishing platform. And iBook 2 textbooks, or whatever else is producing the iBooks Author, will be priced at $14.99 or less. Phil Schiller, Apple Senior VP of Worldwide Marketing, welcomed the audience into the presentation held at the Guggenheim Museum in New York City by announcing, "Education is in our DNA," referring to Apple and its longtime interest and support of education. He cited a litany of dismal statistics about American education and its ranking internationally before asserting, "We can help with student engagement, especially when the iPad is integrated into the curriculum." While the presentation was a bit self-serving, who would argue the statement that the iPad is number one on most teams' wish list? Apple even unveiled a series of iBooks 2 high school digital texts by Apple partners Pearson, McGraw-Hill, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and DK ready to go at launch, as well as an exclusive deal to release for free first two chapters of new biology textbook by acclaimed Harvard professor E.O. Wilson, with four paid chapters to come. And Google Places has been getting a bit of promotion in Australia, particularly around Sydney, and the app seems to focus more on discovery side of local rather than on search, which distinguishes it from the Apple product default Maps app that's more about directions and navigation than about locating businesses. It also makes the Google Places app somewhat reminiscent of Yelp's iPhone app and even Urban Spoon to a lesser degree. I wrote a review for a couple of restaurants this week for Google Places, and they sent me a few funky Google things.
Good stuff. Love Google.
Yeah.
Love Google.
Great.
Yeah. Anything else, mate? Is that it?
That's it. And I think Casey was going to talk about iBooks.
Sure. Go ahead, Casey. Fire away.
So I think we've all kind of heard, I think, or I hope, if you're listening to this podcast, that Apple had their little education announcement yesterday from New York City. It was rumored, you know, widely and for a while on what it might be, and a lot of people were saying that it might be textbooks. And even in the Steve Jobs biography, you know, they really pretty much said that he is going to target two things going forward, textbooks and television. So this was an education event. It was definitely targeted towards textbooks. Apple announced a revised and just kind of re-energized effort to go after education, like the entire education market and genre as a whole. Now, keep in mind, Apple's been in this market, in this category, for pretty much their entire, almost the entire time Apple's been making computers. From the very beginning, they were making a go at education, trying to revolutionize that space, get into classrooms and the whole nine yards. They've gone through almost as many revisions in this space as they have in the consumer cloud space, you know, from .Mac to MobileMe to now iCloud. Their education and textbook focused kind of venture has gone through as many, if not more, revisions. In any case, this is the latest in that series. They've released an update to iBooks, the app that comes on all iOS platforms now for their ebooks, kind of a bookshelf type app in which you can read and view and note and bookmark and all of that good stuff with ebooks, much like a Kindle or Nook. That's tied into the Apple iBook Store, kind of a sister to the iTunes Music Store and App Store for ebooks. These both originally launched when the iPad first was announced in 2010. So this new revision to iBooks, dubbed iBooks 2, marks kind of the more of a textbook focus, whereas before, when they first announced it, it was more like fiction, nonfiction, stuff like that. Not a whole lot of education, though you can kind of see that that was where they wanted to go originally. Now they're really kind of just pointing all lasers at that target. So they have a whole new section to the iBook store called textbooks. They've gotten three of the major textbook publishers on board, partnering with them in this endeavor. And they've revamped the iTunes U category as well, to the fact that there is actually an iTunes U app for the iPad out, I believe, now for free on the App Store.
That is correct.
iBooks 2 is also out for free on the iTunes Store as well now. And that kind of just doubles down on what the iTunes U was previously, which was universities and colleges putting out lectures and seminars in podcast form, be it either video or audio, for free. So now you have that straight channel in an app, but also there's a little bit more interactivity along with that kind of, instead of just being a solely podcast format, it's a little bit more interactive and app-like. So in addition to all of that, they also launched iBook Author. This is a Mac app only, Lion or higher, 10.7 or higher. And this kind of, it's pretty much, if you have any experience with the iWork or iLife apps for the Mac, it's pretty much like if Pages had a baby with iWeb. This would be that.
That's awesome.
It's got a lot of the same. I mean, the top bar, the overall interface. Obviously, they're all, you know, they kind of have that universal interface. So if you've used one, you've used them all. So kind of going on that theme that Apple likes, where you already know how to use it. It's very simple, very easy to use. It's free and available on the Mac App Store for download starting yesterday, and The layout is a lot like Pages, to where you open it up and you're brought face-to-face with a number of templates to choose from to make your first new book. And you go from there, much like a Pages document. But then the interactivity that you can choose from, drag and drop video, audio, pictures, you can drag and drop widgets into your book. The widgets profile kind of includes interactive maps, interactive picture galleries, photo clips, HTML. Well, so there's an HTML widget, which I found in further review and kind of playing around with it last night, which I thought was kind of weird and kind of irked me. A lot of people were saying that this HTML widget that you could drop into your iBook was going to kind of be, you know, the big thing. There, here you go, HTML5, you know, rears its head again, and it's all kosher. But when you look at it and you go to actually drop in something into your new book, the only file format this HTML widget accepts is a .widget file. And if you've done any coding or development for the Mac, that is a dashboard widget file.
Cool.
And dashboard widgets have been kind of dead for a few years now. And so I found that kind of odd that they're kind of bringing dashboard widgets back, of all things.
Right.
That kind of coupled with the controversy of the EULA when they released it, you're kind of forced into the terms and conditions when you download this app, and run it. In order to publish anything, you have to publish it through Apple and through the Apple iBook Store. When you save your book and export it, the only way to do so is through the Apple iBook Store. You can't export it or save it.
Thanks, Casey. That's a great review, mate. Thanks. I hope you enjoy the iTunes U and stuff, that sort of thing, and the textbooks and that sort of thing. And yeah. So, Jason, now you've been checking out an app called Google Places, mate.
Yeah. Google this week were trying to get some more interest in the Google Places app. Apparently, from what I can tell, it was released about a year ago, the actual site.
Okay.
And now you can go there to check out Google Places will let you look up for restaurants and nice. That kind of thing. A bit like Yelp and Oink.
Oink is way better. I wouldn't touch any other app than Oink. But yeah, you don't use Oink, Jason.
Well, I've used it a couple of times, but there's so many of these things out there.
So what's your best app you've used so far?
For doing those kind of things? I really like the Oink one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But Google said they'd give me some free stuff if I use their one this week. So
okay.
What can you do? You want to try it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't give up free stuff, can you, mate?
That's right.
All right, let's move on. The interview guest, Rick, what else?
Yeah.
What more can you tell us about your website, mate?
The biggest thing really would be the thing that I'm going to start focusing on more than anything. I have a lot of people asking me to help them just with general multimedia questions. And so one of the things that I had an idea is I'm going to start putting a form on my website. Just, you know, if you want training, whether it be, you know, general Photoshop questions, Illustrator, InDesign, graphic design questions. And it sounds crazy, but it's starting to make sense. There's been a lot of I need to be careful. Elderly people who are, really attacking social media. I mean, who are just clinging onto Facebook with everything left in their soul. Grandparents who live 500 miles away who are on Facebook every single day to see their grandkids. I have a lot of those who are asking me, you know, can you show me how to do this? And I want to just say, yeah, no problem, you know, but it's hard to figure that out. So what I'm trying to do is find a way to get those people training, either hook them up with someone in their area, or if they live here, you know, setting up appointments and really just, you know, kind of focusing on helping them do that. So kind of offering myself, for different training and stuff like that. I think that's going to be my next big push on the website is, you know, yeah, I do the graphic design and all this other stuff, but how can I help you, you know, learn your software or learn what this social media, Facebook, Twitter thing is, you know? So I think that's going to be my next big push.
All right, good stuff, Rick. We'll come back to you soon, mate. Jason, you've got a couple apps you want to plug. Steve's also got a couple apps too. And Casey, what are they?
Yeah, I was put onto an app this week. It's mostly for people who are interested in electronic and trance dance kind of music called DI Radio.
Okay.
It's digitally imported, and they've got a website, di.fm, where you can download apps for iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, and BlackBerry. And you get the low quality streams for free, which is quite good. They're not; they don't sound awful or anything, but nice. If you're really hardcore audiophile, you can pay a premium and get the higher bandwidth of streaming, and it's really good. It's got a lot of good music there, I like.
Talking of music, I just want to throw in an app called Audio, RDIO. Get it. It's free, and it's great. I love it. Use it all the time. You can listen to music, any music you want, and stream it to your Apple TV or wherever, and listen to it on your iPhone, and it's really cool.
Cool. And Steve's got an app that he likes.
It recently came out, which is the OnLive desktop, and it allows your iPad to. It kind of actually simulates a Windows 7 environment.
Oh, yes.
It's mainly used for like Microsoft Office documents.
Yeah. That's a great app, mate. That's really cool. Love that app. I haven't got it, but, you know.
And, I got the video on my YouTube account, so if anybody wants to go see it as well, it's the whole video is done, ready to go.
Sweet, sweet. And Casey, what about you?
In addition to, much to my disparaging, I do think the iBooks author app is a good app if you're just kind of getting used to the whole platform. And if you want to just kind of get started in that genre, it's a good, easy to use, fluid, and really quite beautiful app to make some really beautiful books.
Cool.
Is that going to be used for self-publishing as well, to take on Amazon Kindle self-publishing?
If you wanted to take them on solely through the iBook store, sure.
Yeah, I think they.
I wasn't sure if Apple let everybody upload or if that's just for a universe.
No, yeah, no. It's actually the EULA and the terms and conditions for the iBook store is actually more restrictive than they are for the App Store and the iTunes Music Store. So all you have is the iBook store and that's it.
Cool.
You can't publish it anywhere.
Yeah, yes you can, but it's got to be free. You can export it to your website or anywhere else, but you can't sell it. But you can.
But even if you make it free, it only publishes to the iBook store for free, though.
From my understanding, you can also put it on your website and other things. Okay, we'll have to look into that.
Deeper into it.
All right.
Yeah, we're gonna bring it here.
When I was doing it last night, and I created it. Gives you two choices to create a paid account or a free account. And, obviously a paid account where you can charge for your books and a free account where you cannot charge for your books. In either case, both of them go through the iBook store and the iBook store alone.
All right. Sick. Cool. Good stuff. All right. Check out that on the App Store and go download it. Jason, the new Facebook page for your company, mate. What's up with that?
Yeah. Just like to give a quick plug for the Blue Bilby Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BlueBilby. Check it out and like it if you think it's quite good. And I'll be putting info on there about new apps as they get released and that sort of thing.
And a shout out to Lisa from Facebook. I'm not sure who she is.
Lisa.
Hello to Lisa. She listens to the podcast. She's new. She's new. So, say hi to her. Rick, where can they find you on the internet, mate?
You got Twitter and you Facebook? Can follow me on Twitter. Yeah, at Ricardo Reyes II is my Twitter handle, or just facebook.com/RickReyes.
Cool.
Or my website, RicardoReyesII.com.
Cool, good stuff. All right. And Steve, any last words before we go, mate?
I think not.
Do you want to give a shout out to the internet provider, mate, before you go, or what?
I can't legally. I can't say it because in the terms of service, they can discontinue my service.
Sounds like they already did.
Apple's
always watching.
Yeah, Apple? Yeah, okay. Casey, what do you want to say before we go, mate?
Where do we find you?
Where do we find you on the
internet? My site, as always, is www.caseycoughlin.com. I'm Casey Mack on Facebook, Casey Coughlin on Google+. Casey Queso, KASO, on Twitter. And
cool.
I think that's about it.
All right, what about you, Jason?
Yep, you can find me at bluebilby.com and on Twitter, Warlock, WAULOK, and Bluebilby Apps.
And me, Brad Ozen at Tech Webcast. Steve. Jason, Steve, where can they find you? We've got so many people on Skype.
JustinTV / Linux Cool Dude, and on Twitter, Chatterbox_live.
All right. Cool. Enjoy the show. Thanks for being on, Rick.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
No problem. Jason, any more words, mate, before you go?
Yeah, catch you next week.
Catch you next week. You lost the game, Jason, as always. Casey, thanks for being on, and Steve and Rick for being on too. You guys are legends. Yeah. And okay. We may have someone on next week.
Sweet.
Me, okay.
Yeah, here we go. Thanks.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT+10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for geeks.